The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning. It's time to get inside the minds of top mystery writers and behind the pages of your favorite mystery novel. Welcome to Mystery Matters, where murder is an open book, featuring your host, Fran Stewart. We'll explore how authors weave clues together to form intricate puzzles and more. Now, here's your host, Fran Stewart.
Welcome to Mystery Matters. Today is May 22, 2009, and I'm speaking live this morning with Dr. Darden North, author of three medical, well, we'll call them thrillers, I guess. We'll talk about that later. Their titles are House Call, Points of Origin, and Fresh Frozen. Set in the Deep South, North's contemporary novels are built around intense characters who are often embroiled in controversy. He's writing a fourth novel as he continues to deliver babies and maintain a full gynecological practice. His tagline is, finally, a doctor whose writing you can read. Welcome to Mystery Matters, Darden.
Thanks, Fran.
Well, every week on Sunday before the radio show, I send out a newsletter and I letting people know who the upcoming guests will be. And I always say, you know, if you have questions, you can email them ahead of time. Well, we had a couple of people send in questions. And I'd like to start with the first one. It's a very general question, but I want you to kind of keep it in mind as you're answering all of these questions, because the answer will come out through the entire interview. It's from Carenza Wren Norton, and she signs it one of your very Prego patients. Her question is, where do you come up with the characters and storylines?
Well,
and
first
obviously
I need to
that's something we could talk for an hour about, so
right.
Kind of work it into the whole interview, if that's okay with you.
Oh, sure, sure. And again, I'm just really thrilled to be talking with you today and getting to share some of my writing adventures here with you, Fran.
Well, got some interesting ideas in there.
Exactly. Well, let me reassure Wren and all the other, as she's identified herself as a patient, I'm not writing about patients and not using any one specific stories or things like that, but, you know, like they say, you have to write about what you know, and I don't think you would have a detective who is writing fiction write about, you know, a gardener and his adventures. So,
right.
Again, you know, I'm a doctor trying to sort of step out of his shell and do something a little bit different that really wasn't being done already that I had noticed in the
mm-hmm.
South as far as a doctor who thinks he's in his prime, you know, deciding to write fiction. And I've had
yeah.
a real good time with it, and I've had some fairly good success and some people that really appreciated them. And the way I sort of develop my characters, and I've read this or heard this from other authors who said the same thing, that your first two novels basically take out of you what you have absorbed in your lifetime as far as the people you've been around, the situations you've been involved with, both inside and out of your profession. So basically, I would say that my characters, particularly in House Call and Points of Origin, the first two books, were basically a mixture of people that I had known through growing up in Cleveland, Mississippi, and going to Ole Miss, and going to medical school here in Jackson, Mississippi, and basically just made the ones that were really interesting more interesting, and the ones that were bad a little bit worse.
And that's the fun of being
a naming the characters. I think sometimes the names have a little hidden meaning that only I would pick up on, but
mm-hmm.
I generally try to make the name fit the character.
Yeah. Obviously, you use your medical background to set the stage for your books, but I have to wonder if you have a special message to put out there, if you have a reason for writing the stories that you do.
Well,
what would that be?
My goal is to just write a really good story, a good tale with characters that really seem real, that pop out of the pages, as one reviewer said, that and the settings are places that you visualize easily in your mind. I don't have a social agenda when I write my novels. I know some fiction authors do, or it seems that they do. I do make, you know, comments that may reflect my inner beliefs here and there, but I really want to appeal to a wide audience of both men and women readers, and just because I'm a gynecologist doesn't mean men don't like my books as well.
Sure.
And basically, like I said, I've sort of stepped out of my shell and trying to, as you said a minute ago, my novels are contemporary. They are set in the South. The first three have generally been set in Mississippi, but they're not about the old Mississippi. They're about the new things going on and these contemporary folks that think they're sort of cosmopolitan in some ways.
Yeah. Near the beginning of Fresh Frozen, that's your third, your most recent
right.
book, you have Van Diemen, the owner of the fertility center, complain about the rules that governed the freezing of human eggs, calling them nothing but red tape.
Right.
His research group, and I'm quoting here, had produced hundreds of babies using frozen human eggs, not one case with an adverse birth effect, except maybe an extra digit on the extremities here and there. Oh, my gosh, that's chilling. How close to actual medical science is that scenario?
Well, first of all, my books, you know, have some medical topics in there. They're not how-to books. They're not designed to be medical instruction books, but I'm very careful in anything I write, whether it's about blowing up a house or plane crash, that everything is accurate, because readers like that. But I think his correct pronunciation is Van Diemen, but anyway, he will be, as you read Fresh Frozen, I know you have a doctor that you will have to decide whether he's good or evil.
Well, and I got my opinion.
He's a very smart man, and the things that are mentioned here are true. There is technology out there about freezing human eggs and freezing human embryos, and the babies that are born out of those that technology to people that are unfortunate could not have children are healthy. There's a little bit higher risk of premature labor in any kind of in vitro fertilization.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, the babies that have, when the process has resulted in a healthy egg or human embryo, those babies are born fine. There's no higher risk of birth defects in the general population.
Okay.
And the extra digits out there just to kind of occur in the general population sometimes. But basically in that part of that scene, he's talking to young Knox Chamley, his new associate, and basically trying to win him over into joining his practice.
Mm-hmm. Can you, just for people who haven't read your book, could you give us just a brief overview of the story?
Fresh Frozen is probably closest to a medical thriller that I've written, and if people like Robin Cook, for instance, who's an ophthalmologist who's done very well, obviously written a lot of books, wrote Comas, had movies, kind of the author's dream, but it is the closest to his type of venue of any of my books. It's about a young policeman and his wife who's really a tormented individual, and basically through their attempts to have a baby, they discover that the human reproductive tissue can sometimes results in some fatalities, not necessarily for the patients. That's what we're talking about, for the characters surrounding that. There's a grisly southern murder. I mix in a Hollywood movie star who comes from California thinking she can come to Mississippi and be treated, and the paparazzi won't know she's here, but someone is trying to steal her frozen embryos. And as you read through the book, you'll see there are lots of people that could be doing that, and I guarantee you that you will be surprised by the ending. I have had no one guess the way any of my books end. I always like to put a twist in there at the end that keeps them what I think is intriguing books. And Fresh Frozen really twists human greed and mental torment and medical science all up together.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wrote it to be a fast moving novel, and it's different. I don't think there's anything else out there quite like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's certainly true. If someone asks you, why should I read your books, what would you say? How do they differ from other medical thrillers? I mean, you've mentioned that they're different, but
where do you think that
difference lies?
And I get that asked a lot at book signings when people come up to you, particularly if they don't know who you are, why should I get your book?
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a lot of practice answering
that
question. They're set in the South, which makes them different. I think Southern characters, there's a fascination about people from the South and, you know, why so many authors are from the South. I think that, that puts a little bit of different flair to them. Mm-hmm. And the characters, I really do a lot of characterization in my books that you don't see a lot in the in other medical thrillers or even mysteries. The characters are intertwined. Like I said, they're real. I'm not writing to horrify or put a lot of gore, and you won't find that in my books.
Mm-hmm.
That's in any vulgarity is strictly minimized. It is, you know, if it, you know, it's just not. That's just not my agenda there.
Yeah.
And but I think it's, they're different because there's a realism, because I'm still practicing medicine, that a lot of mentioned reviewers a minute ago, reviewers have said that I write the truth of medical fiction. You can tell that I'm, you know, there on the front lines, you know, still working in my profession. So the mm-hmm. there's a freshness, they say, to the books there. And I think that's what makes it a difference, makes a difference.
Yeah. Why did you choose gynecology and obstetrics as your specialty?
Well, my son now is a second-year medical student, and he's asked me that question a lot because he's having to start to wrestle with those issues. But it was the one thing is we do our rotation as a third-year medical student I was sort of drawn to. It mixes dealing with patients in a very happy time of their lives, and it also has surgery mixed with it. You get a really good mixture of just plain medical care and surgical care, and each day in my office is just different. There's no day that's ever the same. It's very exciting, and when there are things that are touchy or unfortunate for patients, it really draws on your skill to be able to, you know, handle that well and do what they need. But on the average day, there's nothing more thrilling than delivering a baby, and I'm 53 years old now, and actually my kids are grown in college and medical school, and I appreciate the little babies more. I guess that's part of the, you know, the natural way that your life goes. But I'm very happy I chose it, and some people say I'm pretty good at it, so we'll see.
Well, your passion for your work certainly comes through, and I think that's definitely.
And our specialty is changing. There's so many new non-invasive surgical techniques coming out that really makes it an exciting thing. There's no way to grow stale as a doctor at all. There's always something challenging there.
That's great. Well, I've been curious about how you would describe your mysteries. I referred to them as thrillers, but half of them, I mean, half of the writing, it seems like, is not really the thriller part. It's fast-paced, but do you call them suspense? Do you call them thrillers? Do you call them medical mystery? What do you do?
Well, I sort of did an introspective study of that recently when I was writing a guest blog for someone's internet blog site, trying to define what it was I was writing. And I thought back to a lady who walked up to me at a book signing and said, "Oh, you write medical mysteries." And I thought about that, and a medical mystery is more of an unknown cure to a disease. That's what a medical mystery is. So mm-hmm. I think that we have to talk about medical suspense or medical thrillers. And some of my books, particularly House Call, the first one is more of a whodunit, and that's to me more of suspense. And there, mm-hmm. you know, there are doctors and nurses involved in it, and a lot of other different types of people.
Yeah. Well,
whereas a thriller is more of when the protagonist doesn't know what's in store for him. And mm-hmm. I think Fresh Frozen, like I said, is getting more into that thriller.
We'll talk more about this after the break. But in the meantime, please stay tuned. You're listening to Mystery Matters. I'm talking with Darden North, author of Fresh Frozen, and I'm Fran Stewart as your host. I'm speaking today with Darden North, author of Fresh Frozen and two other medical mysteries. His website is dardennorth.com. Darden, your books are all set in the Deep South, and you touched on this earlier in the show, but I want to ask specifically, how does a sense of place lend itself to your plot lines?
Well, being from the South and having been raised here, I have seen just a whole lot of different kinds of people, and what's so neat about our region is that the people who live here just run the gamut of social classes and professions. There's just so much material out there to gather upon, you know, gather mm-hmm. upon to write.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, sometimes if I sort of hit writer's block, I'll tell people, well, what you should do is just I suggest you just go to a party. because you can just listen to people talk, and you'll hear so many things. It just sparks so many ideas as far as writing.
Yeah.
And I think as Southern writers, we are just trying to explain ourselves or explain our way of life so many times. And just, you know, people have a lot of misconceptions about the South, and I think when they read things that they want to hear about the South, sometimes those books are the most popular because it's sort of, to me, exploiting some of the unfortunate things that have happened here.
And the stereotypes.
Right. And I like to, you know, I have some rednecks in my books, I do, and I have some racial issues in my books. In fact, my friend who's an attorney pointed out to me that the Southern authors who've really done well through the years have had a lot of race issues. But, again, I'm trying to get away from that. I really want to just present these characters that are, you know, full of life, and they get into trouble, and they do some things that are good and bad. And I do think my books are a little bit different, like I said, because they are set in the South. The fourth book is going to have some scenes in Iraq. So, again, I'm branching out. You know, the characters travel overseas, and it gives me an opportunity to do a little research about other areas. But I'm glad to be from here because I do think it gives me a little bit of a background in trying to write.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to a question that came in from Coco Isle of Newport Richey, Florida. She said, Dr. North, when you begin a new book, how do you start? Do you outline the plot, use a calendar, already know what will happen, or do you start writing and have the story unfold before you on its own?
You know, that's just a really great question. And Coco is another special person because her name is used as a character in my third book, Fresh Frozen. She's the exercise guru in the book. And she won that privilege through an auction as a fundraiser at a book event in Alabama. I never found out how much she paid for it, but anyway, and I the character
is immortal now.
Right, that her character is not the same as the real Coco Isle, but I did make her look like her, and she's a very pretty, vibrant young lady, and I'm glad to hear from her. I've been reading, after writing three books, I finally decided to read a book about how to write a book.
Oh.
And I went to the Mississippi Writers Guild summer workshop here in Vicksburg last August, and Thomas Sawyer was there, who was the head writer of Murder, She Wrote for 12 years, and he had written a book, Writing Fiction Demystified. It's a simple paperback book. I'd recommend it. And it was, you know, basically he's telling you how you should write fiction, and it's basically his way or the highway.
Mm-hmm.
But he is a very big proponent for outlining, and I have never really truly outlined my books, because I was thinking of the rigid senior high school English outline where it's A, B, C, and all the little numbers underneath it. And that's not the way he suggests you outline. And basically you divide your book into basically three acts or four acts and basically just start with a few sentences for each act. And so that's what I'm trying to adopt to do for my fourth novel, because I really do think that is easier to do it that way. It doesn't really confine you, because I really don't want to know how my book is going to end exactly. I don't think that's as much fun. But I'm going to try to stick to what Tom has recommended and see if that won't make it easier.
But you're still willing to let your characters surprise you and go off in it.
Yeah, I mean, in the first book, House Call, a different person did it than the one I started off with. And after I decided to change it, I went back and I said, well, this can easily happen. And it just wasn't what was going to make the book the best. So I went to make it more intriguing. So, yes, my characters take me places. Their names change sometimes because the character changes.
Mm-hmm.
And, like I said, I can just see them in front of me many times. So, and that's you know, you have to enjoy writing, and I think that's, you have to decide which way is easiest for you.
Yeah.
But I do think if you don't have a some sort of a structure, you're gonna find you're gonna be throwing some pages out later.
Oh, that hurts. Well, that's actually the mark of good writing. It's the rewriting that makes the difference between an ordinary story and a really good one. Let's talk about how the character of Knox Chambly grows from one book to the next. He's your main character.
He is, and he's Knox Chambly is pictures a very handsome young OBGYN physician, and of course, you know, I sort of thought I was patterning him after myself. One of my younger partners thinks he's Knox Shambly. That's if he wants to do that. But Knox is a really good guy. He starts off, he's a victim of reverse sexual discrimination in the first book. And in the second book, I had to plug him in there because I found out he was so popular with the readers from the first book, I needed to keep him in Points of Origin to keep him alive. Mm-hmm. And then in Fresh Frozen, he sort of comes into his own because he really wants a little, you know, bigger piece of the technological pie in medicine, and, you know, wants to really be technical, and that's why he goes into this fertility clinic. He's still sort of the kind of person that's oblivious to the bad things around him. You know, he just goes to work, he works, he does a good job, you know, he changes girlfriends, you know, he's, you know, goes and works out and that kind of thing, but he's not really in tune to all these bad things around him. And
I had to admit I wanted to shake him a couple of times.
Exactly.
Would
you wake
up?
He, you know, whether he gets into trouble because of that, you got to read to find out, but, you know, I may let him and other characters go for this fourth book and just let them rest a while. And the way I ended Fresh Frozen, people said, well, you just kind of set up your next book. But I think we'll have to go back and kind of let it, you know, pick back on that, pick back later. But, again,
people
tell me...
Well, I was going to ask, is he the character that goes to Iraq?
No, it's going to be a different character.
Totally different one. Okay.
So far. And they do tell me that Knox is getting sexier each time, each book. So.
Okay, well, so what are you working on now?
Well, my fourth book is going to be about a doctor who is a trauma surgeon, and he has to fulfill his obligation, his four-month obligation in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And it's set a few years ago, and he's there having to save the GIs that come in from, you know, roadside bombs and terrorist attacks, and they also bring in terrorists to the Army-Navy bases there, too. You know,
oh, that will
billions.
Be interesting.
And he has to save both people. And it's a real emotional and ethical dilemma for him that he has to work through. And when he gets back to the States, someone is trying to kill him. Now, whether that's has to do with his saving terrorists or some other things, we'll have to see. But that's basically what I've started off with. And I'm having to do a little bit of research because I've certainly never been to Iraq and I've never served in the armed forces, but... You know, that's what writing's all about.
You know,
crawl out of your skin sometimes.
Well,
I think it's going to be good.
The research is important.
It is, and I'm excited. I had several ideas, and actually I was talking to a father at a book signing whose son had been to Iraq and was sort of faced with some of those medical ethical things, and that just hit me. I just felt this feeling deep inside that that's what I wanted to write about.
Yeah. I remember reading a book some time ago, and I'm sorry, I can't remember who the author was, but it was a situation of somebody, of two people coming into an emergency room. One was the person who had shot the other one. Neither one of them died.
Right.
And then had gotten injured himself in the same thing. It was clearly a victim and perpetrator thing, and there were the medical people working to save both of them.
Right.
And that does bring up those ethical dilemmas. Well, I guess it's not a dilemma if you've taken the Hippocratic Oath and you
right.
your view is to save lives. But
right, and that you know, if you keep that foremost, it keeps your, you know, your own beliefs out of, you know, even if you see a patient coming with a disease that you don't approve of, you know, you're mm-hmm. a doctor or nurse and you're there to take care of them, and you separate all that away from you, and I think that's what makes you a good healthcare giver.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's so many of you see a lot of those ethical things on all these medical TV shows now and movies, and it's almost getting hard to find some theme that hasn't been done already.
Yeah.
There's so much interest in the medical field now in fiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so much of it's so badly written.
Well, maybe so.
Yeah. All right.
Except my books are very well written. So,
Have you ever made a house call?
Well, it's funny you asked that. About 21 years ago, I actually did, and it's not the kind of house call in my novel, because
oh,
house call is a murder, but actually a friend of mine's a patient, and she was pregnant, and this is before the day of cell phones, and she was to have a scheduled C-section. It was during Christmas. She called my house on Saturday, and she said, I cannot find my husband. You know, I'm in labor. My water's broken. and what do I do? And I said, I will come and get you. And she only lived about two or three blocks from me. I wasn't on call. I got in the car, drove and picked her up, took her to the hospital. By the time we located her husband, we had her ready to go back for her delivery. And he got there in time. I provided a camera from my, I had a camera out in my trunk, took the pictures for him. So it was, you know, that's the closest I've made to a house call. But fortunately, we got to the hospital.
You're a multifaceted doctor, aren't you?
But that's always been a funny story.
Wow. Well, we're going to have to take a break in just a moment here. But coming up right after the break, I'll continue my discussion with Darden North. If you have questions for him, email them to mysterymatters@earthlink.net, and if we have time, I'll try to ask them on the air. And you might at some point check out my website, franstewart.com. Sign up to receive my weekly newsletter so you will know who the upcoming guests are. And anyone who signs up this month is going to be entered in a drawing for my latest book, hardcover copy of Indigo as an Iris. Stay tuned.